Turn in your Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. We are going to be in Mark chapter 14, a few verses, and soon in Matthew chapter 26 for a few verses, and soon in John chapter 12 for a few verses. They're all about the same event. And they have to do with the episode where Jesus Christ is in Bethany, right before his crucifixion. He is with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Lazarus has already been raised from the dead. And he's having supper. This is the time in Jesus' ministry when Mary anoints his body for his burial with that expensive ointment that is in the alabaster box. And there's something very curious about this particular episode, and the thing that's curious about it is this. The thing that's curious about it is where it takes place. Is where it takes place. And we're going to see that in Mark chapter 14. And when we go there, we're also going to see it in Matthew chapter 26. Mark chapter 14, look at verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. That's very curious. In the house of Simon the leper. As he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial for her. And we've done that right now. It happened again. We just did it. Isn't that a remarkable thing? Now, there's a lot going on here, and we need to see that there are other people here besides Jesus and Simon the leper and this woman who's not named in Mark chapter 14. But keep in mind the context. We are in the house of Simon the leper. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. It's fabulous to be together tonight in church. Fabulous to be together with those that love you and love your words. Tonight, Father, they've come to hear from you, to hear from your words, and they can. And they will, Father, if you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit. I know they're seeing a man here. I know they're hearing a man's voice. But these words are not man's words. These are your words. And so we're praying tonight that while we may use words to expound the text and even illustrate the text, truly the words that we need to remember are the words that are printed on this page. And these and the other texts that we'll look at tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, all these that are here will gather great encouragement from you tonight. Great encouragement in the words of God. Speak to us. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. Speak to our spirits. And help us, Lord, to understand how great it is to be in fellowship with you and how great the things are that you've done that allow us to enjoy your fellowship. Now, please help us, Father, to get to the business at hand and to say these things in such a way that they please you and magnify your words and bring you glory and edify your children. For we ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, in just a few days after this happens, Jesus Christ is going to be on the cross. Jesus Christ is going to die. Before this episode, he'd had a big run-in with the Pharisees. He had his triumphal entry and cleansed the temple, and they came in challenging his authority to do that. And they thought they might trip him up and get a sound bite that they could retweet. And so they put him to some questions they thought would be hard questions. He handled those with no problem. You know, what about giving tribute to Caesar? And if a woman has been married to seven different men who are all brothers and none of them had children by her, who's she going to be married to in eternity? And what's the great commandment in the Bible? They can't trip him up. They have nothing on him at all from what he's answered. And then he asked them a question about the Messiah. How can he be the son of David when David called him Lord? How is that possible? And they don't know how to handle that question. And so they just give up. They don't ask him any more questions. They know they can't handle it. And so they're plotting to kill him, and Jesus Christ has given a scathing rebuke to them in Matthew chapter 23. And, you know, he's just spending an evening at supper with some friends. That's what's going on. There's something very great happens here, but it started out as an ordinary night. He's near Jerusalem. He's on, I think, the eastern side of the Mount of Olives in Bethany. He's just hanging out with some friends. A couple of days, a few days, he's going to be on the cross. And this remarkable thing happens where this woman breaks this alabaster box and pours this ointment on his head, on his body, and anoints him before his burial. He's at the home of Simon the leper. Now, Simon the leper is evidently some relation to Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Look in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew records this episode as well. So let's go ahead and look at that. That way we can refer back to it. Matthew chapter 26. The elders and the chief priests and the scribes are plotting against Jesus Christ at the palace of the high priest in verses 3 and 4. Verse 6, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of precious, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. He's just having supper, and all this episode happens. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Now, there are a couple of things we've noticed. The ointment didn't just stay on his head. There was enough in there that it anointed his whole body. As she did it for his burial. And in Mark chapter 14, some of the disciples had indignation. Here we find out that basically all of them are. When the disciples saw it, they had indignation and said, what purpose is this waste? So get a little bit more information. But one thing we see that confirms what we saw in Mark chapter 14 is that this is taking place at the house of a man named Simon the leper. All right, now go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And in John chapter 12, verse 1, let's go ahead and read the passage. Then you have all of the various testimonies of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and John, on this episode. So John chapter 12, verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. It's interesting that they're at the house of Simon the leper, but Martha is serving. Sounds like there's a close relation there. But Lazarus, one of them that sat at the table with him, was one of them that sat at the table with him, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. So now we know what the ointment is. It's spikenard. And anointed the feet of Jesus. So the head, the body, the feet of Jesus. And wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Interesting little thing. Now they're at the house of Simon the leper. And I say there must be some sort of relation, because it's interesting that Martha is serving there. You know, there was another time in Martha's life where we remember her serving. And in that particular episode, notice, might as well just get all these scriptures together while we can. Go to Luke chapter 10. She's serving there, and at that particular time, Mary is there also, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And this is the time when Martha is very upset that Mary's not helping her. But notice something. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, notice this. Get kind of all this groundwork of these scriptures laid here. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into whose house? Her house. Is it possible that her house is also the same house as Simon the leper, where she's serving again? If that's the case, perhaps Simon the leper is the father of these three children. Perhaps Simon the leper is her husband. Nevertheless, you know, this is familiar territory for Jesus Christ. He's been there before. She received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So there you have it. That episode took place at Martha's house. This one at Simon the leper. So evidently there's some relation here. These are close folks that Martha would be serving there at Simon the leper's house. Now, it's interesting to me when I read this that we know of Martha, and she's Martha, I'll call her the cumbered, and Simon the leper, and John chapter 12 says Lazarus, which had been dead. I mean, isn't it interesting to you that Jesus Christ and God in this passage is referring to a problem that these people had where Jesus is this night? You understand, he's with friends. He's been here before. You saw that in Luke chapter 10. He's here now. This is where he wants to be before his death. Look in John. Go back to John, because that's where we're going to spend a little bit of time right now. And look, while you're there in John chapter 11, when word gets to Jesus Christ that Lazarus is dying, that he's so sick he's dying, watch what the Bible says in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus, our friend. You see that? Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. He had to explain it to him in verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But notice what he calls him in verse 11, our friend. Not my friend, but our friend. In other words, those disciples had a good friendship with Mary and Martha. Been there before. They've been there before. Kind of reminds me of Elisha and the Shunammite woman who made a bed for him there in her house and had a little chamber where he could come and stay. Jesus was in familiar territory here. But it's interesting to me that while we know he is among friends, we know something about the past of each one of these. We know that Simon was a leper. We know that Lazarus had been dead. We know that Martha had been troubled and cumbered. But when we see them here in John chapter 12, Martha the cumbered is now serving without fuss or complaining. She's not concerned in the least that her sister's not helping her, but that her sister this time has just taken this very expensive ointment in this alabaster box and broken it to anoint the head, body, and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Martha the cumbered is now Martha the servant, gladly. Lazarus the dead is now Lazarus raised from the dead. Verse 1 says, Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So not only do we know where they came from, but we know where they are right now. Simon the leper is obviously clean. They're in his house. Jesus had cleansed that leprosy, and while he was known from the other Simons, like Judas Iscariot's father, who was also Simon, or Simon a Pharisee, and we'll see something about him later in Luke chapter 7, this is Simon the leper. Aren't you glad you have a last name? That I have to call you by what bad thing happened in your past? And Mary, what's Mary's problem? Doesn't look like much. She made good choices all the way along the way. I'll call her Mary the Saint. Mary the Saint was now anointing the body of Jesus Christ for his burial. I look at that and I read through that. Just been coming back through the Gospels again. You know, hit Matthew 26, Simon the leper. Get back over there to Mark chapter 14, Simon the leper. And I'm thinking, that is remarkable. There's something we need to learn from this. Jesus wants us to understand something about these people that he now calls friends, with whom he is spending his last time in this capacity on earth before he dies. And what we can learn from knowing bad things about people who are friends of Jesus, with whom he now enjoys fellowship, pretty interesting. And the first thing we notice in this text is, we are in need of Jesus. Everybody that we know is there needs Jesus Christ. And everybody that's in this room needs Jesus Christ. Everybody in here has some kind of past, good or bad. And your relationship with Jesus Christ has done something to that. We are in need. Listen, Martha was cumbered. And in that episode that we read about in Luke chapter 10, Jesus Christ rebuked her. He said, you are careful and troubled about many things. Your sister's doing a better job than you are. She's sitting here at my feet. That's a better choice than you're making. Now, you know, if she's over there cooking whatever they're going to eat, and she's cumbered about it, she's not making a ham sandwich. Not for Jews. She's not making a BLT. Not making a PB&J. No, she's putting some effort into this meal. And she's going to great lengths to try to make this a very nice occasion for the Lord Jesus Christ. She has some consternation, some maybe right to feel like Mary ought to be in the kitchen where the women belong. Helping her out with this episode. And yet rather than help Martha out by saying, Mary, you ought to help your sister, which a lot of us might have said, he says, you know what? You're wrong. You're the one troubled. You're the one careful. You're the one messing up around here. She's made a better choice than you. May I tell you something? Reproofs of instruction are not easy to take. But it's obvious that Martha took the rebuke. Because in John chapter 12, no more fussing. No more complaining. Mary is free to do what Mary does, and Martha can do what she does to the pleasure of Jesus Christ. And listen, rebukes, when they come like that, are beneficial when they're heated. Somebody ever points his finger at you and says, you know what, you ought to get your act together. That you know what you ought to do? You ought to get your act together. And try that for a while and see if maybe that person who gave you that rebuke wasn't trying to do you a favor. Martha was cumbered, now she's serving. Simon had been a leper, now he's clean. Lazarus had been dead, now he's raised from the dead. Everyone there needed Jesus. Even, I call her Mary the Saint. because we don't know anything bad about her. But even Mary, Jesus Christ, when he was talking at that first supper, said this, one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part, which should not be taken away from her. Mary needed to be doing what she was doing. We are in need of Jesus Christ, every one of us. Here's the second thing we notice here. We are new creatures in Christ. You see, we are reminded of what these people were so that we can rejoice in what they are now. We don't sit there and hold it against Simon that he was a leper, or that Lazarus had gotten so sick that he died, or that Martha had been one that was cumbered before. What we're doing when we see them here with Jesus Christ in John chapter 12 is we are rejoicing that they are clean and raised and able to serve with joy. May I tell you something? Jesus Christ knows what we were. Talk about us in here tonight. Talk about y'all. Jesus Christ knows things about us that nobody else in this room knows. And if the record of our lives had been reported in the Scripture, I mean, David is a man after God's own heart, but when you read the genealogy of Jesus Christ and it comes down to David's child who is in that line, the Bible doesn't say Solomon, you know, like David the king, and David begat Solomon from Bathsheba. It doesn't say that. No, it says David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Just one more time lets you know what happened. We are new creatures in Christ. Listen, Jesus Christ has fixed that past. Simon was no longer a leper. Lazarus was no longer dead. You're a new creature in Christ. And you need to remember that. That though Jesus Christ knew and knows what you were, more importantly, he knows who you are today. That's the important part. Listen, he is having fellowship with these folks. You know about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? There were a lot of people that he showed up and appeared to at different times, and they were all having, or most of them were having some struggles trying to figure out who he was and what happened to him. When you go back there and you look at all the people to whom he appeared, I want you to listen to this. Listen to this. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Not one of the disciples. Not John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Not Peter, not the one that's going to preach the great sermon in Acts chapter 2. No. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, comma, out of whom he had cast seven devils. You know something? When I think about Mary Magdalene, I don't think about those seven devils. When I think about Mary Magdalene, I don't think about what it was that she did in her life that allowed her to get seven devils. When I think about Mary Magdalene, I think about how much she loved Jesus Christ. And she was there in Mark 15:47 to make sure she knew exactly where he had been buried, so at first opportunity she could be there to anoint his body. And that Mary Magdalene loved Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ loved Mary Magdalene. And he just reminds us, hey guys, you're new creatures in Christ. It's not what you were. It's who you are in Christ today that draws him into fellowship with you. Here's something else we notice from the text. Not only that we are in need of Jesus and we are new creatures in Christ, but listen. We are Jesus' friends. I know you consider yourself a friend of Jesus Christ, but more importantly, he considers himself a friend of yours. And Jesus desires fellowship with us. He went to Bethany and spent this time with them. Listen, He doesn't just tolerate us. Oh, well, I saved you, and now you're redeemed, so I'll put up with you till you get your glorified body. No, he likes, you know what happens to us? Sometimes we sulk about our past and why we are not good enough to deserve fellowship with Jesus Christ. You ever done that? You get up in the morning and you got your little cup of coffee and you get your Bible out and you're trying to wake up enough to be able to digest of some of what you're reading, and your mind goes immediately to something in your past that makes you unworthy for the episode before you. Simon the leper. Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus cast seven devils. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about that past. We sang a song tonight. That stuff, you have been redeemed, and it's under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today you are a child of God. You are clean. You are alive in Christ. You aren't what you were, and He calls you friend. Listen, He's not concerned about your past. He's only concerned with what you are now. That's who He's having fellowship with. The one He saved. The one He cleansed. Notice something else in this passage. Not only are we in need of Jesus and new creatures in Christ and Jesus' friends, but we can't worry what others think. Do you know that there are people in this room that know something about you? And sometimes when they look at you, they wonder who you think you are, that you can do what you do for Jesus Christ after all you did against Him? Mary comes in there to anoint the body of Jesus Christ, and the disciples say, why was this waste? This ointment could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ said, why trouble you the woman? Has anybody ever troubled you about something you want to do for the Lord? Get into the ministry full time and see if they won't try to throw a few rocks at you. A lot of the men that have faithfully served God, a lot of women that have faithfully served God in the ministry, other people envy how God chooses to use them, and instead of having something factual to say out of the Scripture, they just want to go trash their character. They just want to throw something at them and trouble them in trying to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't worry about what other people are saying. And you can't worry about what other people think. I mean, after all, you need to consider, we should consider, who started this mess in the first place? In John chapter 12, who started the, hey Mary, what do you think you're doing? Wasting that money like that. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Don't you know about the poor? Judas Iscariot started it. That ought to tell you something. Mark chapter 14 says, and some of the disciples, in Matthew chapter 26 says, the disciples. It's like it caught on ripples after the rock hit the water. Judas started it. Some of the disciples caught on. By the time Matthew records what happened, they're all upset about it. And if somebody wants to throw a stone your way, they may be the only one talking, and they may get some other friends around and say, can you believe what he thinks he's able to do for the Lord after what he did before he got saved, or whatever he did in his life? You can't worry about that. You got something you want to do for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you think there are some people who don't think you're qualified to do what you're doing for Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ calls you His friend and the Holy Spirit is moving you in the direction to do something like that, go do it! Don't worry about them. Person that got it started in them is probably somebody that was, you know, the Bible talks about Judas Iscariot. He says, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? We do have some adversaries. You got to know that there's a major adversary, and the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, he's the accuser of the brethren. And it's funny how he'll just, the little birdie tell me, just get something out like that so he can see if he can't trash you. Listen, just scare you enough about what you were so that you don't do something that God wants you to do. Simon the leper. Jesus, I don't care. Yeah, but this is the house where the leper was. I don't care. I don't care. This is where my friend is. This is where my friends are. This is Lazarus and Mary and Martha. These are my friends. Say, can't worry about that stuff. Tell you something else you see from this text. We are Jesus' testimony. Listen, Lazarus had been dead and everybody knew it. You're in John chapter 12, I presume. Verse 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. They weren't interested in seeing the corpse. They were interested in seeing the resurrected man. They didn't mind going over there to see these things because they weren't interested in seeing the leper. They wanted to see the guy whose life had changed. Lazarus, Simon, Martha changed. Your changed life can be the cause of others coming to Jesus Christ. You say, well, I do something for God, but you just don't know my past. Well, glory to God, if it was bad and Jesus changed it and it's not your current, while they don't need to know everything that happened to you in the past to make them feel better about what they're doing in the present, let me tell you something. What God has done in changing your life can be a testimony for Jesus Christ. I was talking to a fellow one day and he's incarcerated. And he's in there for a crime that was widely reported. And he and his wife were upper middle class. And this thing is terribly devastating to them. It wasn't a sexual crime, anything like that, but it was a crime that got wide publicity, and it's bad, and therefore very embarrassing and very troubling. And he's been encouraging his wife to go to church, and she just doesn't feel comfortable. Because when people come to a church like this for the first time and they look around, they don't know us. They don't know our past. They look around here and they see people sitting quietly, listening to the preaching of the Word of God, responding and being fed by the words of God. And all they can think is, man, look at these guys here on a Sunday night serving God. I mean, they're going to think good things about you. Now, if they come talk to me, we'll fix them. Now, that's just the nature of people. To think of things. And she said, when I go and I see these good people that are in the church, I just don't feel like I belong here. Not after what's happened to us and our family for what you did. And he said, but sweetheart, you've got to get fed. You've got to be in fellowship with saints. You've got to hear something from the Word of God. And so she started going to a church about our size. You know, if there are 1,000 people there, you can get lost in a crowd. You go to a church like this and come 2 or 3 times, people start noticing. And there were 2 widow ladies in the church that saw her coming alone in their 60s. And one of them came to her and, you know, they befriended her. And finally she said, she was so burdened. She wanted to tell somebody, listen, you see me, but you don't understand why my husband's not here. And I want to confide in you, you know, like friends would. So she told one of the ladies, let me tell you, something bad has happened in our life, and my husband's in prison, and he's going to be there a little while longer. And you know, I don't really want people to know that, but I felt like you should know. I don't want you to think that I'm something that I'm not. And one of the widows that she told took her to the side and she said, young lady, I don't often tell people what I'm going to tell you because I don't think it's necessary. But in your case, I think it's necessary. You see, many years ago, I used to be a prostitute and a striptease dancer. But God changed my life. And I just want you to know something. You're in good company here, sweetheart. Gave her a big hug and said, you just come on to this church and let God minister to you because there's nobody here that's going to judge you or your family. We're glad that you're here. Man. You see, you got to remember when you read these stories about these folks that Jesus befriended, we have a testimony. I don't think it's necessary for us to go back, just like they think this woman was very careful with her testimony. She didn't, you know, big up, spread this all around, but she thought it would help this young lady. It's important for us to remember where we came from because there are other people who are coming where we came from. And we can be a testimony to them and help them out in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say it to you this way. The more you die to the life you had and live to the eternal life you have, the more profoundly your testimony is going to affect those who know you. Let me say it again. The more you die to the life you had and live to the eternal life you have, the more profoundly your testimony is going to affect those who know you. Because they will know you are nothing like you were. And only God could have done that. You had a meeting with Jesus. Now, I've been calling Mary the saint. Because the Bible doesn't tell us anything bad except that when we first find them with Jesus Christ, she's making good choices and she's still making good choices. And the choice she made here is like, all you disciples, shut up! She wrought a good work on me. And I'm going to make sure that wherever the gospel is preached, they know about what this woman did. You know, when you read the Bible, isn't it interesting to notice that people who do things with the Lord Jesus Christ learn that from something somebody else had done with the Lord Jesus Christ? There was a woman that had an issue of blood 12 years and Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter who was dying. This woman, there was a big press of people around him as they're going. This woman said to herself, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I should be healed. And so she was able to maneuver through that press of people around the Lord Jesus Christ. That must have been an episode in itself for a woman who's been sick for 12 years. Finally got close enough and touched the hem of his garment and she was healed immediately. And Jesus knew that virtue had gone out of him when she touched. And so he turned around and said, who touched me? And now she's embarrassed because, listen, a woman who has an issue of blood is defiled. And in the Old Testament, she makes things that are clean unclean when they come in contact. So she doesn't want Jesus to know. But you know Jesus. He's going to find out, right? So he says, he probably made eye contact with her and finally she said, I did it. He said, well, I just want you to know your faith has made thee whole. And then he goes on about his business. Well, you see Jesus Christ later on and there are people running. And you know what they're trying to do? Touch the hem of his garment. Where'd they get that idea? They got it from a woman who was faithful enough or had enough faith to believe if she could touch him, she could be healed. In other words, that story got out and other people did it. Wonder where Mary got the idea to do this. Little Mary the saint. Turn to Luke chapter 7. And I don't say that derogatorily, by the way. I'm just pointing out, she's not quite like the leper and the guy that was dead that was raised and the woman who had seven devils cast out of her and Martha who, you know, what she was, troubled and cumbered before nailing it down. So now, there's a long story here in Luke chapter 7 at the end, and we won't read it all. But in verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Now, everybody knew she was a sinner, right? Which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought what kind of box did she bring? An alabaster box. What did it have in it? Ointment. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Of course, now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Well, this fellow is a Pharisee. His name is Simon too. And this woman here is a sinner. Some people think that maybe this episode here is the same episode you're reading in John chapter 12. I don't think so. I don't believe so at all, even though both of them are named Simon and both of them have an alabaster box and ointment. This woman is a wicked woman. Like Joel Logan said, I'm talking about wicked, okay? She's got a reputation. And Simon doesn't want anything to do with her. He said, if this guy was a prophet, he wouldn't have let that happen. And finally, in verse 44, Jesus turned to the woman and said, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. You know, that story can't happen without a lot of people knowing about it. And here's little Mary. I call her the saint. I don't mean that derogatorily. But she learned something from a bad woman. In other words, that's the point. We are Jesus' testimony. Miss Goody Goody Two Shoes, I'm not trying to say that wrong. I'm just trying to make a big disparity between her and this woman who's the sinner. This sweet lady learned something from a woman who had a bad reputation in town because of her sins and used what she did to express her love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people who are good and clean like that think, there's nothing I can learn from those folks. But you can learn anything from somebody who has a testimony from Jesus. And what tells me, you can be a testimony for Jesus. You don't have to let what's happened to you in the past hinder you from being used by the Lord Jesus Christ in the future. Today, He desires that. He sought these people out. You see, we are in need of Jesus because we do have something that has to be changed. We are new creatures in Christ when we're saved. Jesus calls us His friends. We are His friends. We can't worry about what others think. We are Jesus' testimony. And I'd like to say this finally. Listen very carefully, because there are some in here tonight and you haven't messed up your lives. You don't have a past. You're Mary the Saint. And here's the point. We don't need a bad testimony to have a good one. We don't need a bad testimony to have a good one. The star of this show, this episode in the gospel, is Mary. Actually, it's Jesus Christ. But as it concerns the other people that are here, it's Mary, and Mary doesn't have a bad testimony. Didn't have one before. You don't have to have a bad past to have a great testimony for the Lord. Just recently, I don't even remember who it was. I remember hearing this a lot in the past. But just recently, I was talking to somebody and they said rather mournfully with kind of a long face, I wish I had a better testimony for Jesus Christ. I said, what's wrong with your testimony? They said, well, I haven't gone into a lot of the sin that other people have gone into. And so I don't really have the changed life that you hear other people talking about. And I don't see how Jesus can use me to be an influence on other people without having something bad in my past. And I said, oh, thank God. And don't spoil it now. Because your testimony is that Jesus was worth keeping clean for. That Jesus Christ wants to use and have friendship with people who have good pasts. I know we're all sinners, but I mean, some of us have, you know, spent time as sinners on the road, and some people, we've spent time as sinners in the ditch. There is a difference. You don't have to have a bad past to have a great testimony. The Bible says here, and you've just heard it, wheresoever this gospel is preached, this that she hath done shall be spoken of her. You just heard something that God said about somebody who lived right. She needed Jesus Christ, just like everybody else there did. She just didn't have so much to clean up. And let me say something. If you don't have anything in your past to clean up, don't get started today. Keep it clean. Keep it clean. And you'll have a great testimony for the Lord if you'll let Him use you, and if you'll stay close to Him like these did. You know, it's a pretty simple layout here, but when I look at that, every time I read now about Simon the leper, I'm going to have a great appreciation because it reminds me of me. Bevins, the sinner. But now the child of God. There's no reason in the world that I should be here in this pulpit tonight preaching this message to you, except that Jesus Christ changed my life. And that old man is dead. And this new man lives, and God's doing something with him. And you know something? Your new man is alive, and your old man is dead, and God is doing something with you, and God wants to do something with you, because you are a child of God, and you are a friend of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Fabulous little episode here. Fabulous little bit of scripture. But I really, really pray tonight. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I have two prayers tonight that I want us to pray together before we sing our song and have the remainder of invitation. If you've messed up your life in the past and you've been plagued by that, my prayer is and will be that God will allow you to see in the Scripture that though He knows that, it's all in the past. You are not what you were back then. And that you'll find comfort and joy in that. And you can look beyond that mire that pulls you off the road from time to time into despondency and get up on the road with Jesus Christ and rejoice. And my other prayer is that if you haven't gone the way of the world and your testimony is clean, my prayer is you'll keep it clean. You don't want to mess it up now. Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to answer these prayers. Father, for every one of us in here who has thoughts from time to time about our leprosy, our death, I beg you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, tonight we can regard who we were without hindering your fellowship with us. We just look at that and say, that's what it used to be, but that's not what I am today. Really pray, Father, for all of us here, we can rejoice in what you've made us. And then, Father, I pray for those tonight that have maintained a good, merry testimony. that's been sitting at your feet, waiting for an opportunity to do something for you. Lord, help them to keep their testimony clean. Help them to understand they have a better testimony. A clean testimony is that evidence there, what she got to do, what Mary got to do for your son when he was here. They'll get to do things that are very, very special for you. Help them to remain special. And not to look down their noses on those of us who trashed our past, but remember, they can learn something from us, just like Mary did from that sinner who anointed the feet of Jesus at Simon's house. Thank you for what you've shown us here today, Father. Help us to remember these things and live by them for Jesus' sake. Amen.